And we are back, everybody. It's good to see you. It is Greet the Wheat right here at the Giant Eagle Market District in Robinson, 102.5 WDVE. It's Craig Wolfley along with Marcus Wheat. And we are joined now by Dr. Jose Ramirez Del Toro, Director of Sports Medicine and Spine Care. And he's with the Orthopedic Group. And welcome, Doc. Yeah. It's good to have
we
you.
We finally got the doc in the house.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for having me. You know, I have friends who say that I got the perfect face for radio, so this works out great.
Then you're joining in with
That's
me,
right.
brother.
That's right.
You guys are big time. I'm just sitting here having fun.
You know, what do you think now? You see a guy like Marcus walk in with a man bun. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Okay.
I thought we made a rule to only talk about the bun once a show. Now, we talked about the bun earlier in the show. He brought it up again.
That's good. I forgot about that. We did have an agreement. Just one time only.
Well, I mean, it's here now. So what do you think, Doc?
You know, it works for you.
It does.
That's what
it does.
Thank you, sir.
I can't pull it off, but it would work.
No. I think you could.
All right. Well, I'll try. I'll grow it out.
No, better yet. No, don't.
No,
you like me. That would be ugly.
Keep my face for radio, right?
Yeah.
Just join me in this sitting here, Doc. All right, Doc. We've got a couple situations we want to talk about. And one of them that we want to talk about again is just looking at the knee ligaments and also because last week it was a little bit hard to hear some of the things that you said, but we also have the meniscus tear in a knee injury like that, such as Ben's got or anybody else that might have. How does that go about happening in the first place?
That's a great question. Meniscal injuries can often be non-contact, where you're planning and you go to move and just one wrong turn. And I think in Ben's video, they grabbed his right foot.
Yes.
So he was about to take off on the left, and he couldn't. And just like that, if he twists just enough, he can injure that meniscus. So that's how that happens. And then with Ben, differently from the regular person, most folks would not go have surgery for that meniscus right away. With Ben, the goal is to get him back to play, and that's the quickest way to get him back on the field. So.
Now, how much does a knee brace actually help or prevent those type of injuries?
Studies have shown that not much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
But a lot of people do them. Same thing with ankle taping. So there's a thought that you got to tape everybody's ankles. That tape only lasts for about 10 minutes. After about 10
minutes,
it's like, no.
That's what I heard.
After all these years I've been taping my ankles, so I got no hair left on my ankles. It's a little embarrassing. You know, it's a personal thing. A little too much information, I'm sure. But, you know, you tape the ankles for so long, and you know it, you know, you're bare naked on your ankles, you know?
And I've been taping my ankles since I was probably, 14? Yeah. That's crazy.
You got any hair left on them?
No.
But you know what's interesting? I think athletes feel like it gives them an advantage. And you
Absolutely.
Know what? What's between our ears plays a huge role, so if we believe it's going to help us, it's going to help.
Absolutely.
Even though science can show whatever it can show, but if we believe it's going to help, it's playing a role.
It definitely does make you feel a lot sturdier.
It does.
You know,
I agree with you.
Cut a little better.
Well,
what was
the thing about between the ears? What's that? Oh, that's a little confusing.
I don't have much up there either. Right here, this stuff between the ears.
You know, when you look at it, okay, so actually, now what about spatting over the shoe, though?
Spatting is tough. We were talking about this on the sideline at our game. If I have a guy who's injured and he's doing the spatting, it's so hard to get that off. So I personally, as a physician, don't like it because I'm covering the game, but it looks good. And these guys, you know, it's
you hit. Know what the big reason is, though?
Because it looks good, right?
No, because then your shoes, you don't have to retie your shoes.
You know what? That's
you know, for offensive linemen, you wear gloves and tape them all up and everything like that. Who cares how you look? You're ugly anyhow. That's why you play offensive line.
You know what? I'm going to give credit to my EMS on the sidelines. He said, I bet you they do it so that shoe doesn't come untied.
Absolutely.
So,
it keeps everything tighter. Your shoelaces don't get them untied.
I think it looks good, so that's why.
Is that why you do it? Do you feel? Is it like headball jets? You know, where you run faster, jump higher.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, that
when you feel
before,
like you,
yeah.
you look good. You look good. You feel good. You play good. You know.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
what happened to the offensive line.
I mean, you guys just go.
Just slob.
Just go.
Just slob, man. Oh my goodness! Now you take a look at Doc. What about groin injuries? Because Shamarco's been had a problem with one. Now there is such a word as ligamentation, isn't there?
Ligamentation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When you get, I had a doc call in on the show. He confirmed, so I'm checking on you.
Ligamentation.
Someone
got me.
Yeah, well, you got all this ligamentation moving together. Ligamited, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Ligamited.
Well, I mean, if you got one, you know, it's the hip bone connection.
You might learn a little something about that.
I'm learning today. Well, what I can tell you is the ligaments connect bone to bone.
Okay.
And when the ligaments loosen for whatever reason after an injury, then it becomes harder for that joint to be stabilized, so you need the muscles to do more of the job that the ligaments are no longer doing. So stabilizing with your musculature turns out to be the most important thing.
Right.
If your ligaments
are, and that's usually what we're doing in rehab. We're strengthening the muscles, the small muscles around the injury, right?
The proprioceptors, that's a
there
big
we
word,
go.
Huh? Proprioceptor.
Yeah. You catch that
those
one?
Are the quad muscles, right?
No, that's the one in your back, Wolf.
That's right.
That's one you appropriate for taking over.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when you
that's
are.
Right.
Like,
that's right.
See, I can do this doctor thing. It's not a problem.
You're ready to go.
We're good. Nah, no question about it. When you have a situation where you got a guy down on the field, and a lot of the immobilization techniques have really come on in recent years, and this is a serious part that I wanted to address. I have been on the field several times, and it's a horrible moment when you see someone, either from your team or another team, going through the immobilization. What is the process, and what dictates what you do out there?
So the most important thing is, before every game, I get together with my EMS staff, and we figure out and we go through our game plan. So right before a game, we have our own game plan, and we go through, if something happens, who's going to take the head? So you'll see someone at the head, and that person, and by the head, I literally mean the head of the athlete. So that person's going to be dictating what everyone else does. So I'm talking to the EMS, I'm talking to the athletic trainers, and then we are, if a person needs to be immobilized, one person takes the lead and said, okay, right now, on three, we're going to turn this way. One, two, three, and you turn. And on three, we're going to put him down. One, two, three. And then there's another person, and that's usually me. I'm usually talking to the athlete saying, it's okay, bud, it's going to be okay. I may not be thinking it's going to be okay, but that athlete is scared. When you get there and they're down,
absolutely,
their eyes are big like this, it's my job to say, I have to keep this person calm. This, you know, right now, tons of things are going through their head. And, you know, that's what I train for, and it's a lot of fun. It's the kind of thing you never want to do. You never
right.
want to do that in a game, but you always have to be ready. And if you have a good training staff and good emergency medical responders, you really can help a lot of people. So,
you know, the interest.
And I've been blessed. I've had good at both. So I'm the worst one on the team.
I see. To me, it was such a scary thing. I mean, I'll be absolutely candid with everybody. You know, you go through a 10-minute, 15-minute, 20-minute delay in the game, and everybody's paying attention to, you know, hopefully the young man's going to move, and you want him to move. Do something, you know.
Right.
Just put a hand up. And then mostly all the time, they'll come back around, and, you know, you'll be able to carry on. But I got to tell you, the first couple of plays after that, guys were, like, tiptoeing around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're trying to come back and play a game. It's extremely, extremely difficult.
Yeah, and I long time ago, when I was a young man, I played basketball in college, and I remember never realizing and never understanding what those athletic trainers were doing when there was an injury on the sideline, and I see it from an entirely different perspective now. So I value it. I appreciate what they do, and so it's fun.
I couldn't be a doctor. I couldn't be a trainer. I don't know. Sight of blood.
No.
I don't do so good.
No,
that's horrible.
The athlete would panic. I would panic, and he would panic, and we're both panicking. It'd be a disaster.
It's not good.
Like, it's not okay.
You're going to die.
That would be an awful moment, wouldn't it? I'm freaking out. I think I'm going to pass out.
But,
oh,
you know,
goodness.
They've used studies, so they've seen terrible injuries that have happened. They've gone back and said, what can we learn from this
right.
injury? Like Hank Gathers on the sideline, that was a terrible moment to watch on tape. And they didn't actually start CPR until like 11 minutes after the injury. And her mom came.
Oh, my.
His mom came down. And I mean, it was that was terrible to watch. And so we use that as a learning tool.
Right.
So.
A buddy of mine at Syracuse University, he ended up breaking his leg in multiple places on a screen. We all piled into this, you know, this pile. And it was very strange because at first it was like quiet. There was this hush for a second. And then my buddy Brian Ishman starts screaming. And it was like, whoa, how'd that happen? And when he came, you know, after going to the hospital for a while and everything like that, weeks later, I asked him, I said, why was there a delay? And I guess he went into shock.
Mm-hmm. Didn't feel it.
He had multiple breaks in his leg. And the other thing was, he realized that after he pushed his shoe out of his face mask, it was in his, you know, kind of caught right dangling from his face mask, it was his shoe.
Hold on, what?
His leg was broke. Yeah, it was broken in multiple places. He literally had to move his shoe.
So his foot was in his face.
Yes,
face mask.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you look at Tunch Ilkin. One of the worst injuries Tunch ever had was he dislocated his elbow. And you know how you reduce the elbow? You know, you can't reduce it out on the field, really, because there's too many nerves. So they had to, you know, this was at practice. Uh-huh. But when he dislocated his elbow, Warren Williams, a running back, saw it, and it was bent funny, and he fainted.
Wow.
He fainted. The trainers all came to Warren Williams, and there was poor Tunch with the dislocated elbow laying there all by himself, and they're all he passed out. Well, leave him passed out. Then get the guy with the dislocated elbow.
Get the guy with the problem. DJ ran off the field. Yesterday, tight end.
Right.
Ran off the field yesterday with a dislocated finger.
Oh.
I almost lost it. I almost lost it. It just looks so horrible. Like, he's running off the field. He's just so relaxed. And he, like, put it out for Norwig to do whatever he had to do. Right. And I'm just like, oh, like, somebody help him. Help. somebody come help him.
Somebody
this is crazy.
Help.
All he had to do was pull on it. He just pulled on it.
He's so relaxed. Yeah. You're crazy.
You know, that happened once with Tunch. He dislocated his ring finger and it went sideways. Yeah. And it was the last play before the two-minute warning right on the field. And he's holding his hand. He goes, ah, and he holds his hand out, and it's 90 degrees. He goes, pull my finger. I go, I got kids. I'm not falling
for
that trick.
I know that trick.
Oh, he was so mad at me.
Good one,
he was so mad at me.
My pinky. Same thing happened with my pinky.
You do have a funny looking pinky.
I'm on the field and my pinky is just the glove is hanging off of my pinky, and I'm trying to like pull it back on. I'm like, what's going on? And it's not working.
It's not going back on.
It's
not going back on.
You wiggle your fingers to get your glove on. It's not working, right? So I go to the sideline. I'm like, Wig, my finger's dislocated. Like, can you, like, pop it in or something? Do whatever you do. And I'm panicking. I'm shaking. Like, come on, fix it. Right? So he's, like, pulling on. He's like, well, Marcus, I think it's broke. I'm like, Wig, I can't come out the game. I got to go back in.
Tape it. That's when you tape it.
Yeah, just tape
you guys are great, man. You football players are a tough breed.
Yeah.
You'll go back out there with injuries. And
I mean, with all adrenaline, you don't really feel
much. You don't
much.
Feel it. That's
you don't
exactly
feel much.
Right.
But after that game, you wake up that next morning, oh, it's ugly.
That's exactly right. You feel it afterwards. Ugly.
Well, Dr. Ramirez, thank you so much for coming out. I'm sorry, Dr. Del Toro. You got a lot of
it's
names
good. I got
in
too
your
many
name.
Names.
You
too
got
many
a lot
names.
Of names. That's Dr. Jose Ramirez Del Toro. That's a lot.
Just call me Doc. I'm good.
Okay,
I'm good
Doc. We're good.
Jose. Jose's good, too.
Jose, can you see? There you go. All right, Doc, we're going to go to break, but thanks for coming out tonight. Appreciate so much. That's Dr. Jose Ramirez Del Toro, Director of Sports Medicine and Spine Care at the Orthopedic Group.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Crafters of iconic sandwiches, don't